The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be back here at St. Patrick's. It's always beautiful to gather together as God's family, especially on Sunday. Sunday, the Lord's Day. The day when we commemorate the great mystery of our faith, the mystery that gives us a new identity, being children of God. Integral to being a child of God is the sacrament of baptism. We become children of God. We are reborn. We are regenerated into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, safeguarded by an imperishable inheritance in faith. Although we do not see him, we love him. He whom angels have longed to look, who was pre-announced by the prophets. That gift of identity is given to us in baptism. And as baptized, the word simply means immersed. We are immersed in the living God. We have been conformed to Christ, who's poured himself out for us. That means that we have received an inheritance as priests, prophets, and also a kingly inheritance. All of us, and the baptized members of the church. Today in the Gospel of Mark, in the 6th chapter, we walk to the town of Nazareth. We hear the scandal of the Lord, whom we profess and honor and adore as God, but we also profess and adore and worship him as man, the Word made flesh. The historical circumstances of our Lord's life were a scandal. How could God become a man? How could the mighty deeds, above all the forgiveness of sins, be attributed to a man, those things that are only God's? The scandal is the language of the Lord's gift. And the great scandal, of course, is the cross. The church invites us today to hear some particular words of the Lord. In all of sacred scripture, of the many letters that we have from Paul, whose letters constitute half of the New Testament, there is only one place where he mentions words directly spoken to him by the Lord Jesus. In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear three times when the Lord appears to him and he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth." But that is the account of Luke. Luke is the author of the Acts of the Apostles. Paul never speaks about the revelations that he has, the glories that he receives, the interiority of his own spiritual life explicitly, except here, in the 12th chapter of the second letter to the Corinthians. Corinth was a troubled community. It was the New York City or the Washington, D.C. of the Roman Empire. It's where everybody wanted to go to make something for themselves. Paul had visited Corinth several times, and the community was constantly being stripped of its Christian identity, constantly being challenged by false leaders who claimed to be superior to Paul. So in this part of the letter, we encounter Paul, who is out of Corinth, probably in Macedonia, just north of Corinth, on the way to Corinth. And he speaks from his heart to those who are born in Christ of his own fatherhood. Paul has boasted of his own revelations previously, that whatever anybody else boasts of, I'm not a fool if I boast of, because God has truly done great things in my life, and because they're true, they're not foolish. But he says, above all, I don't boast in the revelations. In fact, so that I might not become too elated, so that I might not depend on the revelations and the gifts and the graces and worship and honor them in place of the living God, God Himself gave to me a thorn in my flesh, an angel of Satan, to beat me. 3 times I asked Him, I called out, that He might send from me this thing. And I heard Him say to me, my grace is sufficient for you. The power is made complete in weakness. These are the words, my brothers and sisters. These are the words of the one who persecuted the church of God, who is not fit to be called an apostle, but who would not discount the grace of God in his own life. They're words that we treasure as disciples of Christ. So Paul can say, I boast then in my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I am strong. The language that Paul uses is very specific. To boast, kaukemai in Greek, comes from the Hebrew verb halel, which means to praise God. And the one who boasts was to be the high priest who would enter into the Holy of Holies and proclaim the mighty deeds of God on behalf of Israel, remembering the great things of God and therefore calling upon the blessing of God into the present. Lord, be faithful to who you are, for you have taken us out of Egypt with strong right hand. Take us out of captivity, the captivity of our stony hearts, and speak your word to us today. That's boasting, my brothers and sisters. To boast in the Lord is to claim the great deeds that God has done for us and to call upon God's fidelity. And Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses so that the power may dwell upon me. Of course, we know the language of dwelling makes us think of the tabernacle, the sacred dwelling of God, where He enters into the presence of history in Mount Sinai. And it's the same word that the Gospel of John will account when he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Paul has realized that in his humanity, in his weakness, is where God has chosen to pitch His tent. God has chosen to dwell among us in our humanity as it is. And so Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, boasts and praises God living in him. This is the account that he has. These are the credentials that he brings to Corinth, that God has loved him and given himself for him. My brothers and sisters, in these words, we find hope. There's another place where Paul boasts, and it is the 5th chapter of the letter to the Romans. And he says, I boast even in my afflictions. And later in the letter to the Galatians, he says, I boast in nothing except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the language of praise. This is the language of becoming crucified with Christ. Of praying with Paul, it's no longer that I live, but Christ who lives in me. And therefore, because I need God, because my life is not about me, because I don't base my life upon my gifts, my strengths, my capacity to do things, or to control things, to control others, my boast is in Jesus Christ, who loves me and gave Himself for me. This is the core of the Christian life. This is why we come to the altar of God, some of us every day. This is certainly why we come on Sundays, because we desire to hear the Word of God. We desire to be nourished by His body and blood. And what is the gift when we come in our human weakness? That the power of God dwells in us. Another word for the power of God is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to us in scandalous and humble ways. sometimes underwhelming for us. The path that God has chosen to communicate His power to us in an efficacious way are the sacraments. The sacraments, where God gives us Himself. My brothers and sisters, we are called to come to the sacraments frequently, with hearts totally rent open to the Lord. And there are two sacraments in particular between which the Christian life ebbs and flows. The sacraments of the Sacred Eucharist and the sacrament of confession. All of us need both frequently. In the Gospel today, those who are scandalized by Christ do get something right. Although they do not profess His divinity, they give Him two titles, the Carpenter and the Son of Mary. The word in Greek is tekton, which actually means builder. Jesus Christ is the one who builds the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is the one who builds our hearts and makes them new by the gift of His Spirit and the sacraments. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is also the Son of Mary. That is why the Church constantly commends us to the Blessed Mother, to receive through her intercession the grace so that the heart of Christ is formed in us. The heart of the one who did not claim equality with God, something to be grasped at, but humbled Himself, taking a human estate. My brothers and sisters, for us to be the children of God also means to be the children of Mary. And we have a prayer. We have a sacred prayer that is inspired by God and written in the sacred scriptures that we may need to pray every day. When I am weak, I am strong. And we hear the Lord's words to us in season and out of season, my grace is sufficient for you.